Welcome back to Healthy Conversations. This week's guest is Lanny Lankard of Righteous Foods and the Joe Tease family. We discuss his restaurant, Righteous Foods, how he thinks about the food he serves and the importance it plays in our overall health. Check out his restaurant on West 7th and subscribe if you enjoyed this episode. Thanks.
Matt McGee is an employee of Frost Insurance. All opinions shared by Matt or guests of the Healthy Conversations podcast are solely their own and do not reflect the opinions of Frost Insurance or Frost Bank. This podcast is for informational purposes only and should not be relied upon for insurance, banking, or investment advice. Healthy Conversations with Matt McGee is brought to you by Straight Up Podcasts.
Well, Lanny, thank you for coming on. Let's jump right on in. I'd love to hear a little about Righteous Food, what the concept is, and how you got started with that.
All right. So we started Righteous Foods in 2014. We're a clean eatery, serving mostly organic and health-oriented cuisine. All-day cafe. We're open 7 days a week, breakfast, lunch, and dinner, brunch on the weekends.
Yeah, very cool. What kind of led you to starting that? Was it really a lack of kind of like healthy options? Did Mayor Price and kind of her whole health initiative kind of help spark that? Or because you had done some things before that, correct?
Yeah, I had a fine dining restaurant for 10 years before that called Lanny's Alta Cocina Mexicana, and we had a lot of acclaim and success for quite a while. So yeah, we had a pretty big fan base that we disappointed when we made the switch. But when I made the switch to Righteous Foods, it was more of a personal decision than anything. I've been in the restaurant business my whole life, but more than anything in fine dining and in that realm for 15 plus years. So wearing the white straight jacket and walking around dining rooms and really elevated cuisine started to wear on me a little bit about where we were at with food in general and in the fine dining world. And I was a little tired of it. I wanted something more casual and more of who I am and what I wanted to do and how I eat. And that was at the time prior to that, competing in a lot of long distance endurance rides and dabbling in triathlon, mountain bike events. And I was already cooking that way in the fine dining realm. I just wasn't really wearing it on our sleeve like we do now at Righteous Foods. And there was certainly a gap in the market for healthy cuisine in Fort Worth at the time, and definitely a gap in breakfast places and all day cafe and just kind of all the things that I was hitting on. I knew that there were not currently available, plus there was a demand for them.
Interesting. Yeah, I heard about your previous restaurant from Hayden, but unfortunately, I was too broke at that time to go eat there. But that's interesting. Yeah. How did you decide to kind of incorporate more of a mission, your cycling, all of that into your restaurant? I feel like that was more common now, but may not so 5 years ago.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit of a stretch. You know, when I first concepted Righteous, it was probably probably 7 years ago. And it was actually supposed to be a boutique cycling studio with a healthy grab and go next to it. So spent a couple of years looking for a location to put Ben Studio that was connected to a cafe and had three leases fall through that are chased pretty heavily and dumped a lot of resources and time into putting it together, only to come up short. And then I think a part of it too is like out of frustration. I was like, all right, I'm into food. I can't find the right spot for this concept. I'm just going to close my doors at Alta Cocina and rebrand as Righteous Foods. So
Interesting.
Yeah.
Kind of along the same lines. I mean, everything you see, restaurants typically don't last that long. Like, is it super difficult to run those? And how do you survive, like, as long as your family's restaurant of Joe T's and kind of stay relevant?
You know, it's mainly in the restaurant business, just like any other. I mean, it's hard work that pays off. And and certainly early on, I mean, I've been in it. I started waiting on tables at Joe T's when I was 8 years old. Okay. And I mean, I was working full time by the time I was 14, 15 years old, waiting on tables. So I've been in the industry my whole life and seen every facet of it. But yeah, opening a place is totally different, and being, you know, especially when you don't have a fan base like Joe T's has already that you can build upon. Starting something from scratch is certainly difficult. And I learned that at Alta Cocina, just really gaining new customers, staying consistent, the people factor and employing lots of folks is difficult. But yeah, it's lifelong journey, I'm sure, like any industry. I mean, you learn more and more every day about what makes you better, what, you know, learn from your mistakes, doing it the wrong way, and figuring out how to do it the right way.
Interesting. To jump back to that cycling, so you were into cycling, almost started a studio and whatnot. Are you glad you did not get into that with things like Peloton and things like that now?
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I mean, it was certainly what I saw with SoulCycle at the time, 7-8 years ago when they were, or 10 years ago or whenever they got started. I was used to go on, well, still do. Every time I go out of town, it seems like food research. But when I was in New York, I was popped in there and did a couple of spin classes and just really liked the vibe that was going on there and just started to think like, wow, this would be easy to replicate. But I don't think anybody that tries to replicate something and one-off something is never going to be a success. You don't have the recipe as the original. It's just kind of like my strengths are in food. And I know no one, people can try to replicate or duplicate what we're doing, but they don't have my recipes.
So yeah, for sure.
It's kind of same way in that.
Interesting. What kind of interested you in starting that Grand Fonda, and was it everything you kind of expected it to be? I'm sure it was a tremendous amount of work, and the hand copies coming in definitely helped, but can you shed some light on that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, a couple of years ago, I wanted to, I mean, just my wife and I travel a lot, and we try to incorporate some sort of, you know, ride or something. Well, actually, pre-children. Now it's a little more difficult, but
for sure,
you know, over the last 10, 12 years, we've picked destinations that have cool cycling events that we'll go and do a big ride and, you know, spend 4 or 5 days in the town afterwards. But in doing some other rides, I thought that it would be neat to bring one to Fort Worth. So I started building one, which I was calling the Grand Funk Fondo, and it was going to be heavily focused on the food aspect of it and the rest stops and after party, and built everything up, and then called the Hincapie Group, who, you know, we have the Righteous Foods Club that you, you know, you're a part of, and they do our sportswear. So asked them if they would consult me and show me, you know, a little bit about how to run a cycling event. And Rich Hincapie, the owner of Hincapie Sports, was just impressed about the town, what I had built already and what I had going on. He wanted to do the race here himself, and I would just assist on the food, which at first was a little bit, I wasn't sure if I wanted to do, but yeah, after seeing all the production, and I would have just kind of, as we touched on earlier, I would have had to learn that industry and probably make a bunch of huge mistakes early on, which I think everyone does in producing an event of that size. But so they came in, took it over. It was their branded event, and I was just a partner that supplied a lot of food for their VIP experience, the festival, and a lot of back end stuff. I mean, a lot of introductions and meetings, and helping them come into a town and a market that they've had no connections other than me. So I had to hold their hands through a lot of blue tape.
Absolutely. Is it coming back next year?
Yep. We're coming back next year. I believe, I don't know if they've announced the date yet, but it's going to be the same weekend as this past weekend. But yeah, they're coming back. It's going to be a slightly different venue. Yeah, they'll be back.
Awesome. Hopefully it's not so windy.
Yes, and cold.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
That was brutal. Speaking of going back to restaurants and whatnot, what do you think of all the kind of Dallas restaurants that are coming in? Can you kind of describe the Fort Worth restaurant scene and what kind of what you think the lay of the land is?
Yeah, I mean, so I opened my first restaurant, Alta Cocina, in 2005, and the climate and competition was totally different.
Yeah.
It was a lot smaller, and the independent, I was still am good friends with all the independent restaurant operators at the time, because it was a small group of us. Now it's, you know, the last 10 years in the growth of Fort Worth have totally been unbelievable. It changed everything. Yeah. And I think it's been both great to be a part of the growth and see everybody come in, and also a slight bit disheartening in the fact that there's just so much opportunity in Fort Worth because of the growth. There's new restaurants everywhere, and there's not enough independent operators out there that can fill spots, and there's not enough incentive on the other side too. I mean, I look at a lot of deals and a lot of new developments, and the math doesn't work for me and a lot of things. I work on a lot of new concepts, and I'm always looking to do something else. But right now we're it's getting tougher to swallow a pill to swallow the lease rates, but hopefully things even out and we get some folks that want to do some homegrown concepts out of Fort Worth, because I think that's what gives us our identity and the footprint of our food map in Fort Worth. If the development's outgrowing the talent here, then they have no choice but to look outside of Fort Worth for potential tenants. And that's, you know, eventually, in my opinion, can water down what our, at least the food scene, our identity from a food scene perspective looks like, because we just, you know, you can pick and place this anywhere. If too many regional or national chains come in, we don't really have a true identity. And I think that's, you know, got to lay on folks like me and other independent operators that can either get strong backing behind them or get hooked up with good partners and developers to start more concepts and establish more local homegrown identity here in Fort Worth.
Yeah. When you're looking at kind of expanding or doing different deals, do you come up with a concept and then pick an area, or is it so difficult to find an area that you find an area and then kind of apply whatever concept you're thinking of?
I think both. Okay. I mean, if there's something I feel really strongly about, I can come up with a concept, be like, I think this is going to be really good and sustainable, and look for the location next. Or I've been approached by developers where I kind of go and look at the spot and get a feel for what fits and what works in those developments, and concepts of something for those areas. And I think that's probably my biggest strength, is creativity and being able to visualize something like that isn't there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think Righteous is a great example of that, kind of being at the edge of that neighborhood, the neighborhood feel, and kind of everything seems to align to that mission.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we've got a lot of, we service the neighborhood. We also get a lot of folks. You kind of got to deliberately want to go there. We're a little bit tucked in, but we also, you know, we have a lot of fitness studios around us too that help.
That definitely helps.
Yeah.
Along that whole line of fitness and whatnot, what role do you feel like food plays in overall health, and how much do you kind of think about that?
Oh, a lot. Yeah. I mean, I think it's, you know, probably more important than the physical activity. I mean, if you're, and however many miles you put in on the bike or run, and it's gonna be negated if you're throwing down pizza and cheeseburgers every night, and you're not gonna have the energy to make it those long distances, and that your training regimen's not gonna be achievable if you don't fuel yourself with the right food, which unfortunately the right food sometimes is not what you want, because it's fun to eat pizza and burgers and queso.
Absolutely. Definitely tastes better.
Yeah.
I mean, any recommendations for somebody that is looking to eat healthier? I think there's a lot of obstacles and barriers that people have up in their mind. I mean, can you do it on a budget, or does it truly cost?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I think we use a lot of organic produce and organic meats, and of course those carry a higher price tag, but that doesn't necessarily equate to health. I mean, it does, in my opinion. I mean, a cleaner, a product that's free from pesticides and antibiotics and things, for me, is something I would rather put in my body. But if, you know, all natural is all natural. If you're getting something from a farm and a garden, doesn't matter if it's organic or not, you can still achieve a healthful. I mean, we at Righteous kind of preach a healthful diet, not necessarily healthy. We have many options that are straight up healthy, but we have a healthful approach to our cuisine. And I think putting vegetables on a larger portion of your plate, a little bit smaller on the proteins, and just balanced meals. I mean, less sugars and fats, or adding healthy fats, and just are all recipes to creating healthy or better health habits, which it's a hard walk to walk.
For sure. I mean, where does a restaurant like Righteous source food? Like, is it around here? Is it from kind of all over?
We try to use all organic when we can, and to be USDA organic, that really meets the highest standards that you can. The soil's got to be tested at the site. It's got to be fed. If it's a protein, it's got to be fed a certain diet. There's a lot of, it's hard to achieve that. So obviously it yields a higher price. But locally, there's not a ton of organic farms around, and our growing season in Texas is, you know, quite a bit shorter than California and other places where we might source some things. But we're, you know, having a USDA organic certification is more important to us than anything. I mean, it's just the governing body that certifies that things are being done the right way. And we do use a lot of local product when we can, but I'm not really particular to only being local.
It's more about quality.
Yeah. I mean, we're a local business and we support local businesses. Yeah. And I'll support local farms if they're providing the right produce I don't discriminate. Good food is good food, and it's sourced from the right place is the right where we look.
What do you think of some trends like Beyond Meat and kind of some of those plant-based options that seem to be getting a lot of headlines recently?
Yeah. I mean, I think, like, as we were just talking on, I think food comes from farms in the dirt and not a laboratory. And I know that they're probably using I think they're using natural products, and they're nothing wrong with it, but I don't know. It's hard for me to wrap my head around a food, you know, coming out of a laboratory. And we don't. We have a plant-based hemp patty. It's like a black bean and hemp protein, and there's other alternatives that you can create naturally at your house. I think, I mean, there's nothing wrong with those products, but I think we pride ourselves on making everything from scratch. And that Alta Cocina, you know, dipped into molecular gastronomy, and there's a bit of food science to it, and you start to add things to food to change it, but ultimately, food is food. It's been around, and we've all been fueled by it for however many thousands of years, and it's come from the same place, the ground. And you can't reinvent food. People are trying to manipulate what food, where it comes from, how it's presented. And there's no substitute for something growing out of the ground, and you know, or in a pasture. It's just it's how it's always been done, and it's always how it's going to continue to be done. And those food trends of, you know, molecular gastronomy has even fallen off quite a bit out of fine dining, and things like this pop up. It's just, you know, people try to repackage. People try to repackage what food is, but food is, as we know it to be, comes out of the ocean, the ground, or a pasture.
Sure. I mean, I was looking at one, and it was breaking down like Burger King's menu, and calories might have been less, but sodium was through the roof.
Yep.
And things like that. So it might not be as healthy as you might think.
I mean anybody like Burger King or those chains, are, you know, they're definitely not using, their main focus is the bottom line to serve that many people. They're taking some cheats.
All right, we can kind of wrap up with a couple of these questions. I mean, any future plans for Rigis or different things that you care to share?
Yeah, I mean, we're looking to expand. I mean, I would like to go on somewhere around the near south side or on the other side of town that wouldn't cannibalize our spot on 7th on the west side. But future concepts always fuel me. I've got a whole drawer full of ideas of, you know, just a time and place when it's right. And, you know, in the last 4 years, we have a 3.5-year-old and a 7-month-old. So, you know, that's slowed me down a little bit, but I think it's, I'm always torn between opening another Rigis in another town and splitting my time between now and somewhere else, or, you know, opening multi-concepts here in Fort Worth that I can have my hands on and be around and offer something else to kind of what we were talking about earlier of, you know, keeping a local presence alive in the local food scene.
Awesome. Besides your family restaurants, what are some of your favorite places to eat?
Well, a lot of them. It's hard to pick too.
A lot of options now.
Yeah, there are a ton of options. We eat out a good bit, but we eat at Magdalena's on Saturday night. We eat at Heim. We eat at LRB, Bonnell's, lots of places like that. I mean, more than anything, just I support the local owners, guys that I know and that I can, you know, if I'm going to spend my money, it's going to be with somebody that I want to support here locally.
Yeah. Awesome. Mm-hmm. We can wrap up here. I mean, for someone that has never been to Rigis, kind of where is it and why should they try it?
We were 3405 West 7th Street, close to the museums, about a block from the museums. We've got five menus. We've got a breakfast menu, a lunch menu, a dinner menu, a happy hour menu, a brunch menu. We've got boutique coffee, cold pressed organic juices, all sorts of different proteins to choose from. But also if you're vegan or vegetarian, we have tons of those options, gluten-free options. We deal with a lot of food allergies and food aversions, food dietary restrictions. So we really have something for everyone, any time of the day. We're all day cafe, 7 days a week. And it'd be hard to find someone that couldn't find something on our menu that they'd enjoy.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, Lanny, thanks for coming on Healthy Conversations.
Yep. Thank you, sir.
Hi, everyone. Thanks again for tuning in. If you enjoyed the podcast, we'd love if you subscribe, leave a review, and share the show with a friend. Thanks again, and we will see you next time on Healthy Conversations.